Hey, ECHL fans, you can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Step into the action with ECHL Ice Level, your front row seat to all things ECHL. Experience the thrill of the game through player interviews and insider updates on the league. Hello, everyone. Welcome to ECHL Ice Level. My name is Amanda Arrowsmith.
And I'm Joe Babick. We are your ECHL Ice Level hosts.
We decided that with the 24-25 season coming up, that it's time the ECHL has a podcast to give you all updates and insider information on what's happening around the league. We'll be dropping a new episode every week on Thursdays throughout the season at 12 p.m. Eastern Time. You can expect to hear from players, coaches, and other staff around the ECHL.
And today is our first episode, and we're starting off with a bang with one of the best coaches in ECHL history, Brad Ralph of the Florida Everblades, who's led Florida to three straight Kelly Cup championships, the first time that's ever been done in ECHL history. So we're looking forward to having him joining us today. But first, let's take a moment and talk about how fast the summer has gone and the season is right on our doorstep here.
The Florida Everblades quite literally just won the Kelly Cup.
It seems like it, doesn't it?
Now we're officially 14 days out from opening day for the 24-25 season and 5 days from our preseason games. So the players are coming in. The teams are getting geared up to start their season. It's quite insane how fast this has crept up.
Yeah, it's a great time of year. NHL training camps have been in full swing. AHL getting ready to get started. And what better way? You know, Flow Hockey now has ECHL, NHL, SPHL, USHL, all kinds of hockey. So make sure you have your Flow Hockey subscription for the season. Go out to games and watch your favorite team. But it certainly is exciting to have the 37th season of ECHL hockey getting going here very soon.
Awesome. Yeah, super exciting stuff. Well, let's hop into this first episode. Once again, we'll be dropping episodes every Thursday throughout the season. So make sure you tune in and let's get started with Brad.
Welcome to the debut episode of our ECHL Ice Level podcast. And we're thrilled to be joined by the head coach of the three-time defending Kelly Cup champion Florida Everblades, Brad Ralph. And Brad, I'm sure just a big thrill of winning three straight championships as you get to be our first guest.
Yeah, that sounds good. I appreciate you having me on. And I always like the sound of that introduction.
How meaningful and special is it to you? You know, the ECHL has been around 36 years now, and you're the first team that's been able to win three consecutive championships. So, you know, personally and professionally, what does that mean to you for the Everblades to have accomplished that?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great honor. There's been a lot of great coaches come through the ECHL. So, yeah, I mean, if I can hold that record for a minute, that would be great. But, you know, winning the third one was, it was almost like validating. And I know that might sound weird, but, you know, the Florida Everblades have a bit of a history for success and for having good hockey teams. And it just felt like that third one was like, yeah, hey, we're actually pretty good at what we do here. And it wasn't a fluke. And, so it was, you know, every year we won, there was a different feeling to each championship, and that's certainly the way the third one felt.
Would you say that the third one for 2024 was definitely like the most meaningful to you, just in terms, obviously, setting the record for all the road wins in a season, and then just that third one on top of everything else?
Yeah, the first championship. I mean, that was the hardest one. You know, it felt like it was a lifetime challenge for all of us, you know, for me and the players. And just to overcome that hurdle, it was an amazing feeling. Just, you know, it was like winning the Stanley Cup, only it's in the ECHL.
Right.
So the first one was, like I said, just an amazing feeling. The second one was more... this is what we do. It was a completely different vibe. Just, you know, like we set out, you know, to win a championship, and we did, and just a big confidence builder for us as an organization and a group. The third one was different because everyone was talking about a three-peat right from the get-go. So it was, you know, that was a challenge in itself, in that we were People were talking a lot about it throughout the course of the year. And like I said, when we were able to win the third one, it was really validating to know that, hey, we set out, you know, at the start of the season to set this record, and we were able to do it. So it was, the first one was amazing. The third one was validating, and just any way you slice it, they're a ton of fun, and they really create this, like this feeling of joy that you don't get anywhere else in life. And I think that we were able to carry that forward through each team and just reiterate, like, hey, this is amazing. It's worth it. Let's do it again. We'll try and win four.
For sure.
If you look back at last year, the first round, you're going up against Jacksonville, who you've seen in the playoffs a lot here the last few years. You know, you're down 3-1 in the series, win game five at home, and have to go to Jacksonville and win two games on the road. So I'm sure it helps to have a lot of guys who had been around the championship atmosphere, but just take us back there going into game six and seven in Jacksonville, knowing you had to win both of those games just to keep moving on and advance again.
Yeah, that was an interesting dynamic to our season. Jacksonville had our number. I think they went 10-1 against us in the regular season, and then we get into playoffs and they're up 3-1, and it just felt like they had our number. I thought it was kind of funny. After game four, Ben Mesella, who was a former captain of ours the previous year, he was in the locker room, and he was kind of walking around saying, hey, you guys can do this. You can win this series. You can win another championship. And it was a big boost for our group. Something so small like that, it provided a lot of confidence for us. And that was something that we talked about between games four and five is, okay, let's believe in ourselves. Let's trust in what we're doing. Obviously when you're down 3-1, there's a lot of questioning whether or not you're good enough, whether or not, you got it in you to go further, or, are guys going to pack it in? And we had enough guys that were in here saying positive things and encouraging us to keep moving forward and showing that belief in our team. So I think that was a big turning point for us in that series. And, I thought Cam Johnson had a great second half of that series, and that helped us really believe that we could do it with the group we had here.
For sure. So obviously being in the South Division for the ECHL, everyone's like, this is the toughest conference here, the most competitive. So how helpful would you say, in your opinion, is that for preparing the team for playoffs when you've battled, tested over 72 regular games in the season?
Yeah, I don't know if it was always like that, that the South Division was big and tough and one of the stronger divisions. Certainly has rung true here the last couple of years. But you're right, Amanda, that's it feels like every game in the regular season is a battle for us. It's a challenge. Everyone wants to take a piece out of us, and that forces us to be at our best every night.
Sure.
Not that we are, because we have barely gotten to playoffs the last couple of years, but but certainly when playoffs comes around, that intensity, that that demand of performing at our best is it's present, and it's something that we've dealt with all year long. So it does make our level of play has to rise in playoffs, but it may not have to rise as much as maybe some other teams. So We are certainly battle tested once we get there.
I mentioned Cam Johnson a little bit ago, but just want to go a little more in depth on him. He's had good regular seasons. Last year, definitely his best, but he seems to just bring his game up and plays a different level in the playoffs, which just has to be a huge boost of confidence for everybody else, knowing they have that on the back end to pick them up.
Yeah, Cam's been, he was a two-time Kelly Cup playoff MVP. I'm sure he was in the conversation last year as well, but you're right, Joe. He's just a guy that the bigger the moment, the better he plays. And he's a goalie. So, you could say any player, regardless of their position. Like, that's a heck of an attribute to have. And when your goalie has that attribute, it's a huge confidence boost for your team. And, you know, he demands our best, and he always gives us his when the big moments arise. So we've been very fortunate to have Cam for the amount of time we have.
Coming up on this season, we're starting from scratch, maybe not so from scratch, but what are some things that we should be expecting to see? How are you feeling about the team, and just what should everyone be looking out for with you guys?
Yeah, that's you're right. Every year you start back at ground zero, and that's a challenge for me as a coach, just to kind of reset and go back to maybe the fundamentals or the habits that it takes, and then build that progression. So that's a challenge that I have. This year with our team, I think there's a big turnover in our, well, one, we have a new affiliation with the St. Louis Blues and the Springfield Thunderbirds. We have a big turnover in our top six forwards and our top four D. So, you know, a lot of new players into the fold, and, you know, we're going to have to teach them, you know, what it's like to be an Everblade and what the expectations are. But I would say, fortunately, we do have a lot of returning players that have been with us 1 or 2 years that can help in that education process.
Yeah. Touching on St. Louis and Springfield, what are you looking forward to the most with this new affiliation coming in?
You know, they're I don't know if they've had a true ECHL affiliate a lot over the last few years. So there's going to be a bit of a feeling out process from both sides. But they've been great to work with so far. Kevin Maxwell in particular and Ryan Miller are the guys that we're dealing with. And they seem to be doing a great job in Springfield. So, you know, just standard stuff, really. Send us your guys, and we'll fit them into the mix here and help them develop, and hopefully they can help us win.
You know, one of the unique things about the ECHL is you get to build your own team from recruiting. You know, there's not a draft, you know, so you, as the head coach, general manager, you have the opportunity to build your own team with recruiting. But at the same time, you've had these long playoff runs. So how do you balance as a coach, you know, during the playoffs, trying to get ready for the next season when these other teams have been off for, you know, 6-8 weeks while you're in the final round the last 3 years?
Yeah, I mean, it that poses its challenges for sure. I don't feel like I've done a great job recruiting over the last couple of years, you know, partially because we haven't had as much time, and there is a fatigue factor that plays into it. So we've had to make a lot of changes throughout the course of a season to get that the balance or the style of team that we want. You know, there is a lot of recruiting that happens, you know, from January to April with U Sports and NCAA players graduating. So we're trying to balance that throughout the course of the year between coaching and recruiting. And then, you know, once the season's over, you know, you win the championship, and a couple of days later, you're back at work trying to figure out what your team is next year. So that's, you know, part of, listen, if you want to win, that's what it takes. So, you know, there's not a lot of time to take off for vacation or to really celebrate. You got to get back after it. And that's part of the ups and downs of winning, I guess.
One of the episodes, too, is, you know, Florida has been in the league for 25 years, has a history of success, 4 championships. I mean, great location. So I don't want to say that, you know, your team's able to sell itself recruiting, but it certainly helps to have the history, the location, and just the excellence down there. The players want to play there.
That, you know, you're right. Being down here in Florida, we've got a great organization. We live in a beautiful part of the country. I think there's always interest. Players are always intrigued by, you know, the potential of playing here. That being said, I think a lot of the coaches around the league are doing a tremendous job. It's very competitive. I think when I first, like 8 years ago, when I first started coaching the Everblades, I would say recruiting was much easier back then. Right now, like I said, everyone's using whatever tools they have to recruit the best players, and that's NHL main camp, NHL rookie camps, you know, AHL contracts, AHL camps. You know, there's just a lot of factors that we're competing against. So like I said, you know, we do have some advantages and that gets us into the conversation. But at the end of the day, it's just a really competitive market. And obviously the players at our level are looking to strategize on what the best route for them to make it to the NHL is. So it's we are fortunate, but it's still a grind.
You've been around the ECHL for almost 20 years now between playing, coaching. How have you seen the league grow and develop and change over that time?
You know, there was a big shift after COVID with a lot of the teams and just drawing more fans in, financially doing a little better. And that's evident in some of the rules that have been changed over the years. So I think that's a great sign. The caliber of play, it seems like there's ebbs and flows. Whether it's a lockout year, the caliber goes really high, or the COVID year, the caliber was really high in the league. So it kind of goes up and down depending on other leagues, other scenarios that's going on in the hockey world or the world in general. You know, big decline in fighting. I think the league has gotten faster. There's more skill, obviously, there is, you know, throughout hockey. So some changes in that regard. But overall, you know, I think the league has continued to grow, and I know Ryan Freeland has done a great job from the business side of it, helping the league grow. And I think the rules that have been changed by the NHL and the American League, they matriculate down to us, and it does make our game stronger, more competitive, and always evolving. So that's part of the job that I really enjoy, is just you're always trying to stay ahead of the curve or make sure you don't fall behind.
Although we started talking right in about Florida and the championship, I'm going to backtrack a little here and just, if you want to give us a quick rundown of your history, how you got into coaching for the ECHL, for those listening that aren't familiar with you.
Yeah.
That's a loaded question.
Yeah, I'll go back a few years here, Amanda. Make me feel old, but I finished my career in the South Division, playing in Columbia, Charlotte, kind of that area. Took 1 year off, thought it'd be a good idea to get into real estate. 2008 was not the year to get into real estate. So I was fortunate to get a job in Augusta in the SPHL. I coached there for 2 years. It was a great learning the coaching general manager side from the grassroots at that level. It only helped me when I got the job in Idaho. Eric Trapp hired me in Idaho. Went in there, young, but had a lot of experience playing in the ECHL. I had a couple years under my belt recruiting and handling a lot of the hockey ops in the SPHL. So went into Idaho for 3 years, and that's how I got into the ECHL. And obviously Idaho's a great organization as well. So learned a lot while I was coaching there, and spent a year up in Kelowna in the Dub, and then was fortunate to get this job down in here in Florida. So I've been here for 8 years.
Just taking back to your playing days, you know, you got to play one NHL game very early in your career with the Coyotes. So can you just take us back to, you know, getting that call and getting the chance to, you know, play one NHL game, which many of us will never have the opportunity to have?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely a one-hit wonder there. Played major junior in Oshawa, played 3 years there. I was drafted by the Phoenix Coyotes. Again, dating myself here, but, I was fortunate. I actually had some really good training camps there, ended up signing with them, and, they gave me the home opener. It was against St. Louis at the time, but, I didn't take advantage of that opportunity. I think I just didn't, and, ended up, going down to Springfield and playing in the minors. for about 9 years, kind of a couple years in Europe, a couple years in the ECHL, a couple years in the American League, kind of all over. But yeah, like the one game, Joe, was, I mean, it was cool, obviously. You know, my goal was not just to play one game. So something that, you know, obviously I wish I had taken more advantage of that one opportunity. But I do feel fortunate that I was able to play in all these different leagues. I feel like that just gave me a different background and some different experiences that I could draw from and relate to with my players. You know, I kind of have a feel for what they're going through mentally when they get sent down or they get called up. I've kind of been through it all. So it all, you know, helped me be a better coach, and hopefully I can, you know, use those experiences to help my coaching staff and the players that I have throughout my career.
Well, I think that's all we have for you today. Are there any last thoughts or anything that you want to shout out here for Florida going into the season? It's right around the corner.
Yeah, no, I'm excited. We're, you know, I think every team sets out to win a championship at the start of the year, and we're no different. So we embrace the opportunity to win a fourth Kelly Cup in a row. And that's, you know, we didn't hide from it last year. And it's like, it's kind of funny because Craig Brush, you know, our president and CEO of the team that, I mean, he started this whole franchise and the arena and everything. He's a very superstitious man at the age of 75. And I'm the opposite. I find, like, you know, it doesn't matter what socks you wear or what tie you wear. You know, we've got to find a way to get the job done. So we'll embrace the opportunity here to win four in a row. And I'm sure every other team that we're up against, certainly in our division, will do whatever they can to stop us from doing that. But I'm excited. You know, I feel fortunate to be doing what I'm doing, and I'm excited for the challenge. And we have a new group of guys coming in that I think our fans will be really happy to see these guys put on Everblades jersey and go to battle.
Yeah, definitely.
Thank you, Brad. We appreciate your time, and best of luck this season.
All right.
Yeah, thanks for coming on with us today.
Well, we thank you for listening to today's podcast. We had a lot of fun with Brad reminiscing on their three championships and his path to where he is today. We'll see you all next week for our second episode, but make sure you like, subscribe, rate our podcast, and then follow us on social media. We're at ECHL Hockey on Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook, and ECHL on X.